Hey, what up? It's YG400, and you watching Jalen and Jacoby. Yeah.
That man is Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, Tom Brady's in a new city on a new team, and he wanted a familiar face around. So what did he do? He went to Instagram and called upon an old friend.
A little tired, but Gronk reporting.
Jalen, via trade, the Buccaneers acquired Rob Gronkowski from retirement. Got him via trade because he was technically still on the Patriots. Jalen, what do you think Gronkowski adds to this team?
Jacoby, should that have been one of those situations where I describe a movie plot? Were they reenacting something? Afflicted, I hadn't seen or anything like that. Is that cultural? Did I miss something?
Okay. I don't think you missed anything. But it was pretty funny. I liked it.
Got it. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. A multitude of things. He's still going into a new situation. And to have somebody with a championship pedigree, a Hall of Fame player, going with you your first year there, that is huge on and off the field, just to have a friend there. Now you got somebody that you can throw it to in the red zone. You can throw it to on third down. He's a really good blocker. He can also be another leader in the locker room amongst guys. Where now both of you guys are instituting a culture of how you won championships together. And he doesn't have to do it alone from the quarterback spot. And then lastly, the Tampa Bay Bucks are just trying to get loaded. They're not playing around, Jacoby. They're going after it. We know about the weapons that they have right now. They just got to do something to the run game. I'm looking at the ticker every single day. They got to do something else in the backfield to help Jones out. But other than that, I'm telling you, they're not playing around.
Well, this tells me a few things. Number one, the tight end is often called the security blanket of the quarterback. And it's never more true with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. But one thing I find interesting about this is they've got like three great tight ends right now. And Bruce Arians, like, historically doesn't really use the tight end that much. I wouldn't be surprised if they move Howard, who kind of like fell out of favor with Arians towards the end of the season last year. And maybe that will be for some help in the backfield. But when I saw this, only one thing came to mind for me. Gronkowski going absolutely wild in Ybor City. I don't know how much time you spent in Tampa. I know it's not an NBA city, but I've spent a lot of time in Tampa, and every time I do, I go straight down to Ybor City, and that is the scene that you will see if you were there. He's going to be out in Ybor City like five nights a week. I don't know if this is going to be great for Gronk's production on the field. What do you think?
Let me tell you something. This quarantining is going to end. The social distancing is going to end. You know what is not going to end? Rob Gronkowski champagning and campaigning. Mm-hmm. And there's like a 2 or 4 block radius in Tampa that we're going to see a lot of IG and social footage of him enjoying and living his best life.
When he packed and flew to Tampa, I'm sure he didn't pack a single shirt. That shirt that he had on in that video is probably the only one he brought. It's either going to be Tampa Bay issued or that same white V-neck, because I know he won't have a shirt on his entire year in Tampa Bay. Look forward to seeing what happens on and off the field there. But we move on to another big player moving destinations, not Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski. This is DeAndre Hopkins. Some say the best wide receiver in the league. And when the trade went down, you kind of felt like, you know, there must be something going on behind the scenes. There must be some reason that you would trade somebody of this caliber. And he spoke about it, and he told Sports Illustrated there was, quote, no relationship with Texans head coach Bill O'Brien. Interesting. No relationship between the star player and the head coach. What does this tell you about what's happening in Houston?
That's the most important relationship in the game with your quarterback, especially if he's a superstar like Deshaun Watson, and then if you got a franchise-changing wide receiver who's his right-hand man, they both went to Clemson together, you got to find a way to keep that together. And so for Bill O'Brien, he's not going to only be judged by wins and losses. Now he's going to be judged whether they get to the Super Bowl or not. Because you know mm-hmm. what Deshaun Watson's going to be doing? Looking around the AFC and like, oh, who's Lamar throwing to? Oh, he's throwing Antonio Brown and Hollywood and all of his weapons. Okay, got it. Who's Patrick Mahomes throwing to? Tyreek Hill and all of their weapons. Like, oh, you're just going to take mine away from me? And Kyler Murray about to be out there balling this year because yep. he has DeAndre Hopkins. So this wasn't a good move by any measure. And ultimately, the organization, as I've said, is going to have to pick between Watson and their head coach.
A couple things. Number one, I love how you put Antonio Brown on the Ravens. I saw what you did there. Brilliant. And number two is, if you don't have a relationship with DeAndre Hopkins, okay, you've kind of lost your fan base, especially this offseason with these trades. I remember last year, you barely beat the Bills in the playoffs. Like, Bill O'Brien must feel very, very secure in his position and his relationship with ownership in Houston because his track record down there is not great, and I would be surprised if he finished the season with the Texans. He needs to start pretty hot down in Houston, and hopefully he will for his job security. Listen, I know we're all at home connecting to the outside world using the internet. And just because all the stores are closed doesn't mean you're not shopping. With everything going on in the world, sometimes there's nothing more comforting than just looking at your phone and ordering a shirt that you want or a pair of pants that you want or a new technology item or a new something for the home, something for the wall, just anything. It just feels like you're connected to the outside world when you improve your home with some purchases. Well, I know there's a lot going on right now in the world and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They're offering fast, free, no contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Now, Jalen, it is now time for one of my favorite segments that we do here. It's time for Cultural or Regional. Let's go. Jalen, I'm so glad that this came out on social media today because this is something I've often wanted to talk to you about. TJ Watt, you know, famous defensive lineman in the NFL, great player. Here's what he took to Twitter and said. Did everyone else grow up drinking milk with dinner every night? I've often wondered this because I've got a couple friends' houses that when I went over to, even to this day, when I go over there, they don't ask what you want, juice or water. You just get a nice tall, cold glass of milk. Jim Harbaugh famously drinks a tall, cold glass of milk with his dinners. Jalen, cultural or regional, milk with dinner.
This reminds me of the shows that I watched growing up. Let me tell you the name of the shows in which people were drinking milk with dinner. Things like okay. Leave It to Beaver, maybe. Okay. Happy Days. Laverne and Shirley.
Love Laverne and Shirley.
Those were the type of shows, great American shows in which people look a lot more like you than me. Extremely cultural. Except
so
my mother,
here's you and I at dinner.
Jeannie Cassandra Rose loves a glass See, of milk.
This is where me and Jeannie are on the same page.
Mix them with Pepsis when I was young.
This is where me and Jeannie are on the same page because if you and I were eating dinner, when I said I had friends and I went over to their houses and sometimes it would just be a cold glass of milk there, that was all my friends that looked like me and none of my friends that looked like you. Big shout to tall glasses of milk with dinner. That's how TJ Watt got so big and strong. Drink a tall glass of milk with dinner tonight and stay tuned because when we come back, someone said LeBron just doesn't have the instinct that Michael Jordan has. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll talk about it right after this.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, The 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, brought to you by Heineken. Jalen, everyone's talking about The Last Dance, and I know that you and I have seen episodes 3 and 4, and I can't wait to discuss them with you and the director of the program, Jason Hare, on the official, not just a Last Dance After Show podcast, the official Last Dance After Show podcast, the Jalen Jacoby After Show, The Last Dance. And Mike Malone, head coach of the Nuggets, is also discussing The Last Dance. And here's what he had to say about a comparison between LeBron and Michael Jordan. He said, I coached LeBron James for 5 years and have a great relationship with him. LeBron did not have the same mindset or killer mentality that Michael Jordan is supposed to have had. But LeBron James is arguably the greatest of all time as well. Now, Jalen, I don't want to go down the road of who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan. That is low-hanging
you
fruit
can.
That I'm sure
you can.
We will discuss. I'm sure we will discuss it again and again for the next decade. But I do want to say this. What do you think about Mike Malone, who said he has a great relationship with LeBron, saying that LeBron doesn't have the same killer instinct as Michael Jordan?
Why are we going to punish people for being honest? I got to say something to all of you LeBron stans. Just because people may or may not believe he's the greatest of all time, you can't let your fandom, and because he wears purple and gold, cloud your judgment based on who's the GOAT. When I speak, it is unbiased. It is not personal. I love LeBron James. He's representing for tall point guards this year by leading the league in assists. He is fantastic. But there are some people that have played in the NBA that have accomplished more things that have been greater, is the word we keep using, than LeBron James. One of them happens to be Michael Jeffrey Air Jordan. And one guy won 6 chips in 13 years. One guy won 3 chips in 17 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
time
their
out.
Stats are comparable. Their stats
time
are comparable.
Out.
But
time
who dominated 50% of
time
the out. Time they was in the league?
Okay.
MJ.
You've hijacked it again and turned it into the greatest of all time debate that we've all been having for the last 5 years and we'll continue to have for the next 50 years. But one thing I want to point out about watching this documentary, and some of this hasn't been aired yet, but I'm just going to leak a little bit. One thing they do show is the true camaraderie between players on opposite teams. People like you, the OGs, are like, oh, we would never hang out with our opponents. We don't shake hands, this and that. There's a story of Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan embracing after the NBA Finals in the tunnel. There's a story about Danny Ainge and Michael Jordan playing golf the day before a playoff game. So one thing I do want to say is what we remember happened and how we remember the league being and what we're being told from the people that were in the league and the superstars seems to be at odds with each other a little bit as I watch this documentary.
Let me tell everyone the distinction. Gather around, boys and girls. Here's the distinction. Number one, that friendship was off wax. It wasn't on the floor pregame putting jerseys in front of their mouths so the cameras can't read their lips. Number two, it didn't impair them going at each other with such ferocity that so many games had flagrant fouls and actually physical altercations that took place. And lastly, you know what the great players like you're describing did not do? Leave the team that they were on because they wanted to go join against the other with the other top players in the league in order to eliminate the championship conversation. MJ didn't leave and go join the Lakers or the Celtics. Neither did Isaiah. They found a way to get it done and bloom where they were planted. So those are the things that people in the prior generations are talking about, not about friendships. You go to college with people, they from your same hometown. You get a chance to play on multiple squads with people, grow up playing AAU in all of these national tournaments. The relationships are there. Look at Magic and Isaiah. We're the best of friends. Kissed each other on the cheek prior to the game in the finals. But then they went after each other, Jacoby. That's the difference.
Okay, I guess you're right. Yeah, you know, you're right. Modern day players, they don't really go hard after each other. They don't really try to win 100%. You're right, Jalen. That's a really good point. Let's move on. Steve Kerr is also discussing The Last Dance and some of the ramifications. And if you've seen episode 2, Scottie Pippen gets surgery at the end of the summer. And Michael Jordan in his interview says that's somewhat selfish. And Steve Kerr said that there was no animosity towards Scottie Pippen about the timing of his surgery because they all understood just how underpaid and undervalued he was by the organization. What do you think about that statement?
I think if Draymond Green would have done the exact same thing, Steve Kerr would have a much different outlook on a player doing that. This is hindsight is 2020-101. Steve doesn't want his brother Scottie Pippen's reputation to take a hit for a business decision that he made that ultimately did not stop them from winning the championship. Had it done so, then the conversation would be different. Yes, we all understand that he was underpaid. And it was disappointing that the organization didn't take care of him. They didn't take care of Phil. And he ended up leaving and going to win 5 more championships somewhere else. So I understand why Steve got to make sure he represents for Scottie's legacy.
Of course, and Draymond Green wasn't the only player underpaid on that Warriors team. If you remember, Steph Curry had himself a sort of a compromised contract in his second contract in the league as well. Now, Jalen, I'm glad you brought up Draymond Green because Draymond Green, he was doing an interview with some friends of ours, and he had something really interesting to say about Kevin Durant's last year with the Warriors. Let's listen.
Although Steve would kind of hit on it of like, let's just enjoy this year for what it is because we don't know what next year holds. It didn't necessarily carry the same weight because what should have happened was Kevin come out and say, hey man, like,
this is it.
Like, this is it. Like, so let's do this or
yep,
this isn't it. You know what I'm saying? But you can't just leave the elephant in the room.
So this I find really interesting because what Draymond Green is sort of saying is that Kevin Durant owes it to his teammates to establish before the season whether or not this is going to be his last year with the Warriors, just to avoid the media questions, to avoid the drama, to avoid all the speculation. As the Bulls sort of had in their last dance, there wasn't too much speculation. They knew it was the last dance. What do you think about the obligation of Kevin Durant to tell his teammates that he was leaving before the season started?
And one of the things that you left off, it wasn't just about KD. He also questioned how he believes Steve Kerr could have handled it different in relation to how Phil Jackson handled it. Here's what I believe. When they were in the Hamptons recruiting KD, whether he was going to be there long term or not was obviously determined by what he signed on the dotted line. And that was a short term deal. In the media, we talked about it. It was acknowledged. He went there the same reason why LeBron went to Miami, to try to eliminate you didn't win the championship as a great player conversation. Once they both went to those destinations and got their championships, they didn't stay there and try to figure out ways to get statues in the community. They left. They got what they needed and they left. And for KD, I always assumed that that was the deal. And you can't necessarily say that to your teammates because your mind could change. Mm-hmm. And so what he ended up doing is basically have them indirectly recruiting him all year. And then he bounced. And Draymond, like, you knew you was going to bounce. So obviously in hindsight, you feel some type of way about recruiting somebody and it was irrelevant.
I love all this player movement. I cannot wait until Anthony Davis joins the Nets next season. But next, we know what the Lions are doing to ensure that they do not draft Tua in the third spot. We'll tell you what that is right after this.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, your life is about to dramatically change in just over 24 hours. The NFL draft is upon us, and your Detroit Lions, who you've loved your entire lifelong, unlike me, who's a Die Easy fan, you are a diehard Lions fan, and they are going to change their future forever. Thursday night, you want them to draft Tua. A lot of people say they're not going to, but what they are doing is Bob Quinn, the general manager, is having the director of IT park a Winnebago in his driveway and just stand by outside in case there are any technical problems. He will go home and sleep in his own bed, but soft move or boss move time?
Anytime you have one of those, it's a boss move. I bet it's going to be custom and tricked out, nice and comfortable, plenty of food. And probably the person that gets a chance to be in it is going to be happy to be able to get away from their potential family. Like, you would welcome that if that was your job in a heartbeat, I'm sure. With that being said, it ain't that hard. It ain't that hard. Walk up there right now and draft the franchise quarterback. I know Okuda's going to be a great player. He's going to be an all-pro. I'm going to get his jersey. He's going to be getting pick sixes. He's going to ball for the Lions. He's going to be a JRLA supporter just like you. But you got to take the franchise quarterback if you get a chance. Do you know how much it's going to pay me to watch Tua go somewhere else and be a Hall of Famer, Jacoby?
I'm so concerned. This will torment you for a decade at least. Because you know what's going to happen. They're not going to draft Tua. Akuda's going to be great. Matt Stafford's going to have a back issue in like week three. And next thing you know, you're going to be all sitting there saying, I love Akuda, but I wish we had Tua. And Jalen, we have one final topic. You know, these versus battles have been a big deal. Teddy Riley and Babyface finally got it together. I wasn't that entertained, I'm not going to lie. But this is an interesting proposal. French Montana says that he could outlast Kendrick Lamar because he has more hits. I'm going to go out and say, French Montana, not as good an MC as Kendrick Lamar, but French Montana definitely has more hits than Kendrick Lamar. Your thoughts?
So this is the schism of where music went from being about the lyrics and then the beats and the hooks along with the DJ till about the melodies, the dance that goes with the record, the Django that goes with the song, and then how popular it is via radio and on loops and on if it went viral or not. You and I both know. If we talking about hits,
no contest.
If we only go about the hits, it's Kendrick Lamar. It's not French. Even close.
Oh, we're going hits. It's French. Oh no, you just don't know what you're talking about. If it's hits,
what you consider,
I don't know what a hit means. A hit is a popular song that tracks on the billboard. We're talking about bars. It's Kendrick Lamar. We're talking about hits. It is French Montana. No. You're wrong. You know you're wrong.
You know you're wrong.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. You got to love the people.